Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, March the 20th. And welcome to our commentary. Just a quick reminder, I have a post over at the American Thinker today talking about cartel violence in Mexico and what appears to be a recurring theme coming out of Mexico, which is violence between cartels, where they're basically fighting for territory. We saw some of this recently in the Cancun area. And now this particular story is in South Mexico, a couple of cartels fighting for territory near the country of Guatemala for that border down there. So this is going to be an issue that is not going away and an issue that will very clearly confront the new president of Mexico. There are elections coming up in June, and it appears from the polling data and everything that we're hearing that Claudia Sheinbaum is going to be the new president of Mexico. She would be, of course, the first woman president of Mexico. She's also connected to the incumbent party, the party of President López Obrador. And if she were to win the election, and again, all the indications are that she will, she'd take over in September. So Mexico would have a president, a new president, by September. And this is going to be one of the big challenges that the new president will face. And that is this whole question of violence in Mexico, and specifically the cartels and everything else going on down there. So we will keep an eye on it, obviously, during the year. We're hoping to have a show that where we bring in a Mexico specialist. And we're trying to do that in the next few weeks to give you a better sense of how the election actually looks from down in Mexico itself. We're going to see if we can find a journalist who can join us from down there and talk about what is going on, in Mexico. Well, another big story regarding Mexico, of course, is I'm sure you know by now that the Texas border law, the immigration law, the law that authorizes Texas police and the National Guard to arrest people who cross the border illegally. That law went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court put it back in force late last night, early this morning. The appeals court put it back on hold. And as I understand, they're having hearings today, Wednesday. And I was listening to a professor who thinks that it'll be back on, meaning the law will be reinstated probably sometime soon in the next 24 hours, maybe the next 48 hours after it goes through this particular process of the appeals process. They're hearing arguments, I guess, from both sides on this. But the bottom line is that the law is probably going to go into effect. And it's interesting to see how Mexico is responding to this law. They're saying they're not going to take back anybody who crosses the border and we send back to Mexico, meaning Texas. Now, I don't believe that's the intention. My understanding is that the people would be turned over to ICE, and then ICE would deal with the problem. But the fact that Mexico has taken this in-your-face position, against the Texas border law is an example of sometimes the arrogance of Mexico. There's a great story over at the American Thinker. Check it out. A great post by Monica Showalter, talking about, you know, her view of how Mexico is reacting to all of this. And I agree with her. I mean, this is very arrogant on the part of Mexico to say, we're not going to take people who came from our country. I mean, come on. They came from Mexico. Maybe Mexico should do a better job of keeping them from crossing the border or going to the U.S., the U.S.-Mexico border. But what I find interesting is I was listening to someone from Border Patrol, the president of Border Patrol, if I'm correct in my memory here, but he was talking about the impact of this law. He made a point that was very, very good. He said that this law is basically going to shut down Texas as a place for people to come to. In other words, if you're trying to get into the country illegally, you can try, of course, the different ports of entry that we have on the border. But if you're trying to sneak in, this law basically shuts down any possibility of you coming into the United States through Texas. So this man was saying that that's going to create some real challenges for Arizona. It's going to create some real challenges for California, a little bit of New Mexico as well. They have a small border with Mexico, but Arizona and California have much bigger borders. And in the situation of Arizona, you know from just watching the news that the border situation there is pretty grave too. I mean, their border towns have been significantly impacted. And of course, California, they have another problem, and that is they have a $78 billion deficit. How are they going to be able to handle all these new people and the expenses that these new people bring? And how are they going to do that with the deficit that they have? So I agree with the Border Patrol agent or the Border Patrol representative who was saying that I think that Texas has pretty much shut down the border. I mean, the Texas border has been pretty much shut down, you know, with or without this law. It's pretty much, it's very, very difficult to come into Texas because of the different barriers that Texas has put on the border. So the real problem now is what is Arizona going to do? And what is California going to do? Because these people are moving in that direction. And they're going to be moving in that direction in pretty big numbers. Now, as far as Mexico and their response, I personally don't take it very seriously because what are they going to do? Refuse the people? And by the way, as I said before, I don't believe that it is the intention of the Texas law to turn them back to Mexico. I think that more than likely they would turn them over to ICE and then ICE would handle them as being in the country without papers. What a mess. What a mess. And a mess created especially by the policies of the Biden administration. I mean, if you just think about it, go back 4 years and imagine where we were 4 years ago with respect to the border and look at what we are now. It's just absolutely incredible how much the border has gone to heck ever since President Biden decided to basically cancel the policies that the Trump administration had. The most effective policy that we had here recently was remain in Mexico. That policy was working and it was working well because people are not going to pay whoever they pay to bring you to the border if you have to wait in Mexico. I mean, if you have to wait in Mexico, why pay someone to bring you to the border? You know, waiting in Mexico is not your objective. Your objective is getting into the United States. So the minute we deleted that option, then, of course, we made not just coming to the border a better option, but we created this human trafficking. I mean, this human trafficking situation that is devastating. I mean, just talk to the people and the many, many problems that people have crossing Mexico, whether it's violence, you know, rape in case of women, and just all the issues that they have to go through because we're inviting them. Once we deleted stay in Mexico, we basically said, come over and we'll give you a ticket so you can see a judge in 6 years. And that, of course, has been devastating, not just for Texas, but for Mexico. I continue to say that I think Mexico is sort of playing with fire here. Because Mexico has allowed its country to become an avenue or a corridor for people to come to the United States like this. And I just don't think this is good for Mexico. And that's just not my opinion. I talk to many Mexicans who are concerned about this because they're concerned about all the criminal elements that all of this human trafficking brings with it. So I don't know. We're just going to have to sit down with the president of Mexico and have a heart-to-heart talk. Whether it's the current president or the incoming president. Of course, a lot's going to depend on who we elect. And if we elect President Trump or bring back President Trump, I have a good feeling that he'll provide incentives for Mexico to cooperate with us. I'm pretty sure that he will, or he will provide consequences if they don't deal with us. So I think that that situation with Mexico will be straightened out once we have different leadership here. But in the meantime, the border law is on hold. My guess is that by the time you hear this or read this or watch this, that it will probably be back on. I think my guess is that it's going to be back on before Monday. I just feel that way, that it's going to be back on in the next couple of days. Interesting story that came out, and this is about an illegal immigrant who was arrested by the police because he had a gun. Now, it is, of course, illegal for an illegal person to have a gun. I mean, that's just common sense. It's always been that way. Well, it turns out that a judge in Illinois said, no, wait a minute. that illegal immigrant has the right to have a gun. So all of a sudden, the Second Amendment applies to people who are in the country without papers. Now, that is a crazy interpretation of the Second Amendment. I had never heard of that before. So my guess is that this is going to go to appeal and it will be reversed on appeal. I mean, it just absolutely makes no sense. I mean, how does a person who doesn't have papers or identification even get a gun legally in the first place? I mean, they walk into a gun show and without identification, well, you're not going to pass the background test if that happens. So I'm sure that it's going to be reversed, but it's just another example of how crazy the situation in the country has become. You know, we're seeing things that frankly just don't make any sense. A person without papers having the legal right to have a gun, that is pretty crazy. Well, on this day in history, 1854, so we go back 170 years, the GOP, what is now, or the Republican Party, what we now call the GOP, was formed on this day in Wisconsin. And it was basically an anti-slavery party formed in on this day in 1854 up in Wisconsin. And about 6 years later, of course, Abraham Lincoln became the first Republican president. So 1854, 170 years ago today, the Republican Party was formed in Wisconsin. And, you know, I think over the years, the Republicans have done fairly well electing presidents to the White House. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.